Nate, thank you so much for joining us. And I mean, we had a conversation prior to this about what you do, what you've been a part of. And in terms of understanding what you do, I'm going to let you explain that because you, not just the hat you're wearing, but there's many hats that you wear.
Yeah, no, that's, I think that's fair to say. No, so I think you know how I, we've talked for a couple of years now, and I started with Tennis Point back in 2019, I believe it was. I came on as an intern with those guys. Those guys had no like social media presence at all, and they asked me to, I kind of started off writing blogs and got going with their social media, worked with those guys for full time for like 4 or 5 years. I was their brand, I still acting as their brand manager, but in the last year or so, some things have changed with me starting my own company with Niagara Country Club in February. Really, I guess it was January, but didn't really kick off until that Delray Open was kind of the initial start of it. But basically, that the Niagara Country Club sector is like a right now, it's like an acting media branch for the tennis world, I would say. I tell the brands and players and stuff, it's like the connective tissue between players, brands, fans, tournaments and events type deal. And it's like we can, I want to tell those stories that kind of get lost in the mix when we just kind of hear about the same one to three players on men and women's side. So that's kind of where it started. And I've done everything between like social media, commercial content, sponsorships and partnerships. And yeah, it's just kind of been a just drinking from a faucet, man. Just kind of like figuring it out on the fly. I mean, there's really no playbook for what we do in content creation in this realm, especially as it pertains to tennis, because I think tennis is super just less, they're more apprehensive to kind of adapt to the new ways that the world is kind of called for with just how we consume stories and stuff. So it's been fun to kind of figure it out and connect to people like yourself and other people that are trying to promote our sport, because I think it's the best sport in the world. And it's up to us to kind of make sure it's sets up there and gets back into the mainstream of things.
No, I totally agree. And it's, I'm trying to think from your perspective to doing commercial posts and doing your own kind of post. How did you find your, I guess, voice to create or balance the two of them? Is there ever a kind of mix between the two? Because I love how you put it as a connective tissue between the tennis world and fans, and not just fans, but other players as well. How do you keep it separate, but also keep it along the same narrative? Because I feel like that's something very hard to do in the tennis world when it comes to not just reporting, but telling the stories of others.
Yeah, so that's a good question. I think what when it comes to like what I like to create and like what I'm creating, I'm 99% doing it with my phone. Like I let the guys that like I have a great team of guys that I've worked with over the years that are great with cameras. I let those guys like I'll kind of like to let them know what I like to see maybe, but those guys are the that's a skill set that I've let those guys kind of run rampant with. I stick to the iPhone coverage and then kind of just like more the vision and like the script and the kind of the vibe and the feel of things. But when I'm creating with my phone, which nowadays it's like, I think it's hard to kind of even tell, like for some folks, whether it was shot with a phone or a camera, because the new iPhone like 16s, these cameras are incredible. But my vision is when I'm creating is I'm just trying to create stuff that when I'm at home, like, and I'm trying to follow a tournament in the digital space, like what would I want to see if I was at home and not at this tournament? So my whole goal and objective is to like make people feel like they're at the event with me and like they're just walking around the grounds with me. So I think in the future when I when it's when this whole thing when we get this thing really cooking, I think we'll have I want to double down, triple down on what I've seen have success and do it 10 times over, because I think it's the numbers are telling me that fans really like this type of organic original content that feels relatable to them, I guess, at that level where they feel like they know these players. And I think that's my been my whole purpose of why I've wanted to do this.
And for you too, and kind of going along that train of thought too, with like being on the grounds for tournaments, you ran your own tournament this year and kind of getting into what you've done in 2024, which congratulations on your success, by the way, because it's been incredible.
Thanks a
You
lot, man.
ran a, of course, you ran a tournament this year and you not only from, an ITF level. You ran it at the University of Louisville. You had college players that are some of the top players in the country. Johannes Munday won it, correct?
Yeah, it's a
And
bad man.
that's a very bad man. And for like someone like him who also has national media attention from in Great Britain, what was it like running that tournament and balancing running the media side? Because you had an insane setup for post-match coverage and in terms of branding and hiring designers to help you create graphics for the tournament too. Like that was incredible. So what was that process like? Because I've ran a UTR tournament before at a indoor club, but running a ITF level has to be a different level.
Yeah, I'm sure you were like acting as the tournament director though, correct? Probably. Yeah, that's a see that that's a hat I didn't have to wear, like
Really?
luckily. Yeah, so I didn't have
Okay.
to act I didn't have to like players weren't reporting scores to me, you know.
Got it.
The very first day I had a couple of players like come up to me and ask me to take scores and stuff, and I'm like, "No, that's the front desk right there." But no, so cuz I was like then I'd be really, you know, we could have been cooked there. But no, at the beginning of this year, I think back in March, I said on a podcast way back when, was at like, I'm like, you know, at some point I would love to run like one event in 2024. And I said it on a podcast. I'm like, I didn't really believe it was going to happen in 2024 just because we're still not even a year old yet. But I was like, I wanted to just throw it out there and just see if anything kind of came of it. I went to Bellarmine University, which is in Louisville, about like 5 minutes away from U of L. And so I had a lot of pre-existing relationships in the area. UK's former coach Dennis Emery, who's run tournaments for a long time, he had been familiar with me from just being in, like, you know, in that Louisville, Kentucky tennis team. And he reached out to me when I was at City Open one day. I was sitting at like a restaurant, and I got like a few calls from guys, and I'm like, I was gonna wait till dinner to answer it. And I'm like, all right, this is like the third call. This must be something. And I picked it up, and he was like talking to me, and he's like, man, like, we got a tournament coming down here. There'd be any interest in this? He's a legendary coach. He coached UK for like 30 years. And he was like, you know, we got a tournament, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I started the Lexington Challenger. I did this one in Vegas, but we want to do this one a little differently. I want to like promote it in the digital space. And he kind of saw what I was doing with just Not Your Country Club and tennis. He's like, I would like to talk to you about what this would look like. Things started rolling, and we started talking about how this could all work out. And I was like, this is like a can't I couldn't say no to this opportunity. I was like, we got to make this happen. Even though it was like, it like you said, it d definitely took up
Sorry,
just with all the
hold
stuff
on.
that
Sorry. Hey, cut the shit, please.
goes into
No,
good looking boy.
that's my puppy Otis.
He's a big puppy.
He just turned one 2 weeks ago.
That's awesome. No, I need eventually, when my travel schedule slows down, I need a dog.
It's life-changing. Sorry about that, but working from home and having a dog that's skittish about everything that happens around the apartment. Hold on, I have to turn on his. We're gonna sound privileged, but he has a sound machine that drowns out noise. It needs a dog.
Yeah.
Hello. Hey, you're okay. You're okay. Makes it sound like a privileged white family when you have your dog have a sound machine to drown
That's
out
funny.
noise so
That's
that way he
funny.
doesn't hear anyone walking around. Sorry for cutting you off.
No, we're good. But yeah, so basically we kind of just started stip on where we could fill in the gaps on in things. And when I really sat down, I was like, we got to treat this like it's a grand slam. Like I wanted this to be like a template for me to going forward when hopefully we have more events where we can kind of partake in in a similar fashion. And I wanted people to see that, like, you know, even with a small team, we could make it seem like this was a legit, you know, at least ATP 500, ATP 1000s level. I mean, I was, you know, and I wanted it to have post-match pressers. I wanted it to have like little quick practice court clips, match court clips, everything. And I think I would even do five times more in the future when we have this all built out. But it worked, I thought, to a good level. I was really happy with the turnout. The fan engagement was good. The players seemed to really be really happy, and we're just with the treatment that we were able to kind of provide for them and make them feel like it was, a bigger deal than an ITF 25K. And I learned just as much from the watching these players and how they operate and stuff as I did from anything. So I think that was a really eye-opening experience for me to kind of see where we could fit in this landscape of events and stuff, and hopefully it's the first of many. But I'm glad it looked good on the digital space, because yeah, we had some and it was cool, even grabbing the mic and being on court and announcing these players and stuff. That I think that was something that we did the last few days, and it's like we should have been doing that the whole week. But you live and you learn, and it was a hell of an experience, and hopefully they'll have us back next year.
No, it's not just learning about how to present a tournament, it's how you're seeing everything up close, right? And you become, because you were essentially the media group for the tournament, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we were the
So
title sponsor and media.
you were the title sponsor too.
Yeah, it was called
Okay.
the NYCC Tennis Classic, Not Your Country Club Tennis Classic.
So I'm probably going to ask you for the price afterwards. So that way I don't have to say it out here.
It was like $10, maybe $15, and that was,
I paid for a flyer and that's it. And that's how I became a title sponsor of a 25K.
exactly. Papa John, we got a couple of free Papa John's pizzas,
There you go. Oh, you know Papa?
That's no, that's a Louisville man right there.
Oh yeah, my roommate in college knew him, and
No way, yeah.
listening to free Papa John's. Papa John's is, I think, is superior to Domino's sometimes, not gonna lie.
That's funny. No, yeah. So that was an awesome experience, and it was really cool to have my first tournament that we had any part of was a city that I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
I lived there for 5 years, had ties there, and it was cool that the Bellarmine coach Will Davis and those guys came out, and obviously just it's a family feel. I compare Cincinnati and Louisville are very similar
Oh,
cities, so
100%.
yeah, so that was cool. And yeah, I think the city of Louisville and Lexington have high hopes of bringing professional tennis back in a meaningful way for the long term, as they hadn't had an ITF for like almost 20 years.
Yeah. And for you too, what was the biggest challenge for you running that volume of content or that volume of players at the same time?
Yeah, the biggest challenge was just for sure that we had just two of us down there, and everything is pretty timely. Like you can't really interview somebody about a match that they played on a Monday and put it
Yeah.
out. It has to go out on Monday and like
Yeah.
Tuesday morning at the latest, kind of thing,
Yeah.
because those guys they play again.
Yeah.
So just knowing that I want to shoot as much content as possible, but there's really no point of shooting unless we know that can be edited and flipped around and turned out and spit out on the channels fast enough. So that was the challenge of balancing how long are we out on the court shooting, and then
Yeah.
when are we back at home editing and turning out content. That's always the biggest challenge, I think, for me at events, because
Yeah.
I could sit out there and talk to players and talk to coaches and fans and shoot practice and shoot matches and all that stuff all day long and just collect content. But you got to get it out, and for it to mean something, especially a lot of that stuff, not all of it, but a lot of it is timely, I feel like. And you want to feel like the event is moving along with the page and stuff. And so that was definitely the biggest challenge, is we're getting home at 8 o'clock at night, eating a quick 15, 20-minute dinner, and then it's like we're grinding on edits till midnight or one, and then you gotta wake up by 6:30 or 7 and get to the courts again by 7:30 or 8, and that's like you're there all day. But I loved it. That's kind of the lifestyle that I've signed up for, and one that I'm comfortable in. I kind of tell people I'm comfortable in that chaotic
Yeah.
environment. I feel like I'm kind of at peace in that. At least my mental feels like it's I'm definitely
My mental
my
state is sane
yeah,
for me, but not for others.
exactly. I don't know if I'd recommend it for others, but with my ADHD and just my craziness, it's like I think I
Yeah.
thrive in that. So it was, but definitely the juggle of balancing shooting and editing is just with a small team, is I'm sure a lot of other creatives can relate to that. That's a grind, and just kind of the balance.
For you, for me, when I first started this and when I first started going on site, prioritization was one of the hardest things in terms of how much downtime you have versus what you can be doing was always a struggle for me. Have you always found that to be something easy that you could do, or was it because, like you said, you could always hang out on the grounds for hours, but then you
Yeah.
have to go back to actually doing your job versus
Exactly.
just learning what's happening? Was that ever a struggle for you?
Oh, every day it's still a struggle. That's the main thing I struggle with. I mean, I've done this for 5 years, almost 6 years, and it's like I could, it's like, 'cause you want to balance. Like I really prioritize relationships as my number one thing more than I prioritize the content. I prioritize my relationships. So it's like, I don't want to dip out on this kid or this player or this coach that they could have a breakthrough win, but it's at the same time, it's like I got four or five videos like in the incubator that gotta go out today, because like, and it's like I don't want these players to feel like I don't care about their, and that's more me than anything. It's not like they probably don't even notice that I'm there or not. Like they probably have no clue that I've left at their match, but that's just me, how I am. And so yeah, for sure, that's a constant thing. I'm like, oh, I watched this guy a little bit, now I gotta go to this guy because he needs, like, I haven't got this guy a clip or this girl a clip. And this girl has a cool story, and she's like, I don't know if I'm gonna see her again till junior, whenever, like the next. So, because I'm only doing three or four of these events for juniors a year. So, not knowing when you're gonna see these players next, and it's like you miss that chance to tell that person's story before they blow up. It's like that's gonna be one that's like, damn, I was at that same tournament with that girl and I didn't get a single video of her hitting the ball. It's like, so that
It's
type of
like
stuff is like,
regret. It's like you
yeah, it drives me
know that you
nuts.
have something there and you're going, shit, I should have had that.
Drives me nuts. So that's the constant like internal, tug of war I play with myself. But it's like you're gonna miss things, and I just have to be okay with that. I feel like I like you kind of have to sense where you got to be at the right time and kind of put yourself in those positions like as many times as you can. But yeah, it's like this is Orange Bowl and Eddie Hearn this last couple of weeks. It was the same thing. It's like do I go back to my Airbnb and crank these out, or do I stay for this final doubles match? Like it's like you got to count where you're. Count your wins. Where can you get your wins from,
Exactly. I think that's the hardest part. And speaking of
But
the
it's,
junior tour,
yeah.
it's tough. And you doing pro tournaments, junior tournaments, what have you noticed, at least from, I feel like junior tournaments is just as chaotic as a pro tournament because there's more kids on site and more kids that are probably high energy and willing to do anything because they just never run out of, I guess, sugar.
Yeah, it's true, dude. And when I see what these juniors eat between matches, and like, I'm like, damn, like that's the difference between the pros and the juniors. These juniors can just put down anything they want, man. I'm like, damn, if I was at my age, man, if I eat that, like, I'm cooked. There's no way I'm playing another 3 hour
What did
match.
it, what was the most like outlandish thing you saw a junior eat before a match? Don't tell me their
Oh,
names, but just tell
that's
me like what
no,
they ate because I feel like
it's. Not even anything too crazy, but just like, fruit snacks or like Wawa. A Wawa smoothie is really not a legit smoothie. It's just like a ton of sugar and like artificial like powder. And these kids think these Wawa smoothies are like some nutritional, like nutritious like
it's
snack.
nutritionist.
Yeah, I took one. I bought one the other day. I took one of the juniors. I was like, let's go. Like, he's like, take me to go get a Wawa smoothie. I'm like, all right, let me try what one of these things are about. And I tried one. I'm like, this thing is straight sugar with like artificial chalk in it. And I'm like,
It's
this
not
thing is
even, it's not
not,
even real
no.
fruit. It's just like
There's not a single blueberry in that entire thing, bro. I was like, this is not it. But that's the some of the funny stuff. The other difference that I noticed with the juniors and the pros is the juniors are like, they want the camera, man. Like these kids, like when I'm walking on the practice courts, you got kids yelling from courts over, like, hey, so and so wants to be on this. I'm like, oh man. But like the pros are the and it's just. And like, oh, he's cloud chasing. Oh, he's, and it's like the shit talk from the juniors is cracks me up. The pros are definitely not, because they didn't, a lot of them didn't, the
grow
younger
up.
ones are better. Yeah, they didn't grow up like being covered like a traditional athlete that you would see in the mainstream of sports. Like, when I covered basketball, all the athletes from like the AAU circuit to the college players that I covered were all super familiar and cool with cameras being in their face. I
Because
mean, and then
mixtapes were
tennis.
a thing. Like,
Exactly.
if
And tennis
you,
is not
it's
like
not
that.
that.
No, not even
It,
close.
well, if I go down that route too, if we look at media coverage for junior tennis versus any other sport, overtime's a big component that I love. I've done some freelance work for them. I've done, and just working with them, like, overtime did a really good job of enhancing what basketball became for a younger generation and what people look for in the athletes. And tennis players never had that. There was never like a Tavon Austin mixtape. Like they
No.
never had that kind of coverage where it's like, look how cool this is. The most video that a person would have would probably be a college recruitment video on YouTube. And even then, that's
In the
not like,
yeah,
and
that's
even
not
then,
it.
that's not it because that's not
No.
entertainment. And that's what basketball became with kind of overtime. Like it became the entertainment value and how you can promote it by not only showcasing
Like,
players' athletic abilities, but entertain them.
and like, where would you go if you're trying to learn about the next up and coming players? Like, where would you go in tennis to like find out who's up, like who's up and
Exactly.
coming? Like, there's
Exactly.
like, I couldn't even shout out a single person's page or channel that like does like, so it's like we don't have that in tennis. It's
Yeah.
just not a thing. So the pro players are definitely not as, I'm not gonna say they're not friendly, but they're just not like the camera, like they're just not comfortable on there. Like some of them are, and when you find those players, like you gotta, that's who you gotta kind of put the camera on, because but there's a lot of stiff tennis players, and like they're so stiff. So that's why, like, when I go to the Kalamazoo or go to these tournaments, it's like it's refreshing to have these these top juniors in the world, international players. A lot of them aren't even like, even the non-Americans speak great English, and like they kind of understand what I'm trying to do, and they're super cool with it, and that's kind of a game changer, because their level is like, they're gonna be pro. A lot of these girls and guys, they're gonna be pro, and they're like 12. Like the girls are 10 fives to 11 UTRs. The guys are 13s to like almost, yeah, like mid 13s. It's nuts.
And I'm just surprised how many 13s are going to college. Like, that's
Well, why
wild.
would you not? Why would you not though? Like, what do
I
you
know.
like? You got like, I was talking to a lot of these kids that are not committed. They're like in their junior or senior class, and they're like high 12s or low 13s, and they're considering to not go to, I'm like, and they're asking me, like, I was just talking, I'm like, you got to go for a year or two. Like, just look what Nishesh Basireddy did. Like, he's not going to go to Stanford for 4 years, but he did it for two. He got his body in the right place, stayed healthy, showed himself that he could still play that Challenger Circuit
Even
schedule. And
Murphy.
yeah,
You
Murphy's
look at
another great, I mean,
Murphy, you look at
all of
Elliott,
them.
you look at Zink, you look at
Colton Smith, Zhang.
exactly.
I mean, I can go,
Ozon.
you can, all of these guys. I mean, yeah, I could go on and on and on about those guys. And it's like, why would you not take the resources that college provides you? There's 20 to 25 programs that, if you really want to go play pro tennis, I think there's at least probably 20 to 25 that you could still fulfill those dreams, get great coaching, free practice court time, travel's free. You have this relationship and this kind of fallback plan with this university of just being like even Lerner Tien, he just did it for 1 year, but like he's
Yeah.
kind of forever connected to that USC legacy.
They all are.
Yeah, I think it's a win all around. There's, I don't really know what the loss is, because you can still play your ITFs and your challengers, and I think these coaches are more than okay with that nowadays.
I think it's developed to the point where it's getting to you can play pro and go to college. Like before, I remember when Alexi Gallardo was still at NC State, I remember when he was playing in Houston. I was at that challenger and he played Karlovic. He was still at NC State, and the difference between what players could do then versus now in terms of the accelerator program, it's a huge difference.
Yeah, for
The
sure. And it's,
problem is though, with international students, you're not allowed to sign NIL deals and you can't make revenue as a at least as a tennis player. Well,
I think that's being figured out.
and
I
in their
think
home
so.
country, they can get deals, but they can't do it on a, at least to my knowledge, they can't do it on a student visa in the
Yeah.
States.
I think the loophole there is that they have to just collect the money in their home country. So
Yes.
like, if an athlete is with, they're not going to sign with like the local car dealership, but they're gonna,
Yeah.
like, they can, if there's a global brand that ships in, like, they can kind of figure that, I think, because that was a big problem when I was doing commercials with these athletes, and I would try
Yeah.
to get an international in a commercial. Like, they couldn't accept money or payment for what
Yeah.
they were doing, which I thought was kind of goofy. But I think nowadays they can, there's some ways around it. I talked to a couple players, seems like they're figuring that out.
Hopefully they're figuring it out. And one of the biggest
Yeah.
story, well, one of the biggest storylines right now is Reese Brantmeyer at UNC against the NCAA, and that's being solved, but knowing, no offense to the NCAA, but Like that's going to be a while.
Be curious to see how long the NCAA is like a is like the reign, like how long they hold power over all these athletics. Like if they start to relinquish some power on a sport like tennis, where they've just shown that they are not, like, they're not capable of doing it. Like they just don't have the resources to give tennis what it deserves. And right now, it's like the top college game. Like if the NCAA tournament version of, like March Madness, like that version of college tennis, like it's pro. It's like a semi-pro tournament now, and it's got to be treated and promoted as such. And I'll be curious to see how this NCAA tournament works out for the next decade at Orlando. But yeah, I think there's a lot of things that we need to, because it's like we could, this sport could be, especially college, the team aspect
I
of
love the
college
team
tennis.
aspect.
I mean, it could go. That's how tennis is supposed to be. Like when I went to the TCU Texas final at Oklahoma State this past May, like
It's
that is
great.
how it's nuts. It's absolutely madness. And it's like the fans are chirping, the players are chirping. It's like it felt like a like that chippiness that you find in other sports. It's like that's what you want. And like
Yeah.
sports are entertainment. Like that's all it is. And
Yeah.
it's, it's not that serious. I mean,
It's some more to others, but for us, it's an entertainment value. And that's what is the best part about it.
that's what sports are. I mean, really, that's what they are. It's not like we're curing cancer. We're playing something that we
Providing
love.
entertainment.
And of course you can learn life lessons, and tennis is obviously has there's you can find deeper meaning into it, but it's like, come on, like at the end of the day, we're hitting a yellow ball,
Yeah.
and some people are better at it than others, and the rest of us are entertained by it.
So let me ask you this, if we're staying on that college route conversation, what'd you think of, did you go to individuals? I
No,
can't
I couldn't.
remember.
I can only book one trip to Waco every 12 months, man. I can't do it. I can't do a round trip twice to Waco. I was
So,
bummed though. I definitely had, I wanted to be there.
what do you think of the individuals being in the fall?
I just don't think that's it. I don't think, because a lot of the best players aren't even playing in the fall. So it's like, what we want individuals. We actually want to know who the best player is. And it's like, we got a lot of these top players that are either going to be transferring in or playing their first semester ever of college tennis in the spring.
Yeah.
And other players, it's just like it didn't feel. I think the whole reason that they did that, at least from what I remember, and what John Parsons has continuously been like hammering on, which I'm glad he's done it, because you got to hold these people responsible for these crazy press releases that they put out there saying that they're going to promote this event in a more like, basically just going to treat it for like a bigger event than what it was. And they didn't do anything differently. Like it felt like this past year was the same as it was every other year, just less, there was less hype about it because no one knew what was going on. It was just random. And like the tournaments that they played, like some random All-Americans and some other random tournaments to qualify. And I don't know, it just felt chaotic. And I don't think anybody's gonna,
Unorganized.
yeah, no one's gonna remember that tournament like they would if it was, unfortunately. Shout out to
I
Michael
say,
Zhang though, and shout out to Dasha Vitamanova. Like those two
yeah.
players are gonna be pro players, and they're gonna be, I mean, I think both of them will be top 100 players in the next 2 years. I think
Yeah.
those players have a ton of talent, Zhang and Dasha. So, yeah, those players are. I had a ton of fun watching. I mean, because I'm a diehard tennis fan, I'll watch all that
Yeah.
stuff. But yeah, that's just. I just don't think we did them like they deserve more exposure than what they got there.
I think the biggest argument is the fall with the accelerator programs that college tennis is now implementing. You're not allowing players to take advantage of it if we're having more tournaments in the fall. There's a reason why Murphy, Ozon, Colton, all these guys are playing tournaments in the fall because it's kind of their ramp up to the college tennis season in the spring.
100%.
If we're making
100%.
it, if we're making a 12-month season, there has to be, like, you're not seeing basketball or football play playoffs in November.
No,
You're
it's
not.
silly. Why would you can't,
You shorten the season.
our audience isn't big enough to divide our audience like in like sector the audience into like, no, the fall matters. No, the spring matters. It's like,
What
what matter?
matters?
What's
Where
the
does it?
season? Like, yeah, where do I really need to direct my attention? It's like that's the issue there. But I think Michael Zhang did it in a smart way. I mean, I thought that was interesting that he kind of, I think he got his qualification early. Did he win All Americans or something?
Yeah.
Or he went, he made, yeah, made a deep run, and then he basically just used like 4 weeks in a row for like as a training block because he wasn't going to get one. And then because he didn't play in tournaments for 4 weeks, and then he came to Waco, razor sharp, ready to rip, and he, played amazing tennis all throughout. So that was, if you're going to play it, I thought that was a nice little,
Yeah.
but yeah, obviously you have to have a great tournament to kick things off, so you get that automatic bid.
I think, and the second part to that question is, Orlando for the next 10 years, starting in 2028, I believe.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sounds
I
right.
made a video on it. I agree and disagree. I think it's great that there's a centralized place for it, but the problem is you make a $100 million facility to then just sanction it off, like just part of it, where it's so spread out. Like that's not a college atmosphere. I love how US is it UCF that's considered hosting,
Yeah.
but it doesn't feel like UCF is hosting if it's going to be at the USTA Center.
Oh no, this is a USTA thing 100%.
So
Do you
I
see?
feel bad for
Yeah.
UCF because it's like if you're hosting, you should be hosting. It shouldn't be claimed by I'm probably gonna get flamed for this, but the USTA shouldn't be claiming this if UCF is gonna host it.
No, for sure. USTA is they're doing this because, they gotta host some bigger events at this place that to kind of because they've made it what it is, and I've only been to the campus twice, so I don't know what it looks like on a year like day, a week to week basis if their
Yeah.
courts are getting played on or whatever. But it's like it did feel like it was like why does USTA want it though? They didn't do anything in 2023. They didn't do anything to make it feel special. Like it was, and the other thing, like you said, is like the campus is so spread out. College tennis thrives in like the intimacy setting where it's like everybody's packed in and close together and trying to like. Like just kind of even Stillwater did a great job of it, like where everybody was kind of centered in the
Centralized.
yeah. So doing it in Orlando, it's like the practice courts, I gotta walk like to do what I like to do, it's like I gotta walk like a quarter mile to go
I have
cover
to
the practice courts.
take a
It's
fucking golf
ridiculous.
cart
Yeah,
to just
exactly.
go to a one practice court.
I don't know. So that's one thing. And then it's like the Lake Nona, it's like no one's gonna come to Lake like that's not like a place that you want to take your kids to like vacation. It's like at least make it like a destination spot that people can do other things. And I heard people respond back to me when I tweeted about this, like you can sign up your kids for clinics and camps. I'm like, dude, like that's
Well,
we're just basically.
some people are saying like Disney World, all the attractions in Orlando, but that's not what people are going to be there
Yeah,
for.
that's
They're going to
yeah,
be there to watch. People that are going
yeah.
there are going to be families, other players, and
Exactly.
people that live on the campus. But so it's
I lived in Orlando for a year. That traffic is no joke either. So it's not, to get the you better have a few hours of signed away. I think it's called like I-4, whatever highway that is a disaster, man. You're sitting in traffic all day. So
I just feel
I
like
don't know. I mean,
traffic in Florida is tough either way.
it is. I'm bummed that like a school like I have yet to be, like, yet to get to Athens yet, and like I would have loved to see like a school like Athens or like Georgia or somewhere that like has shown that they can create an atmosphere, like
Oh,
just
Athens, you'll love.
yeah, give it to these schools that have proven that they can create something out of these opportunities. But I don't know. I wasn't in those discussions, and I don't think I not sure we I'll get to that point where I have any say on that. So I'll definitely be in Orlando for whenever that is, and
Yeah.
I'll try. We'll make the most of it. But hopefully, or I just hope that the USTA, if they want to. They need help with content creation. They can tap into what we're like. Yeah, we got we yeah.
Just raise our hands
You got
here and just say, hey, you want some ideas?
you got
Hi.
Tweener Head Tennis. You got NYCC. There's a bunch of others I'm sure they could tap into as well. But yeah, we can help that kind of narrative. I think we can
Exactly.
tap into that.
It's gonna be interesting. Let's just say that moving forward.
No,
And I think
it is.
the last thing I wanted to talk to you about, so I do appreciate you joining us, man. I know it's early and I know you're on the move a
Nah,
lot,
bro,
but I just
we're good,
appreciate
man.
you.
Beautiful Saturday morning. I'm glad we got to catch up and talk to you. It's been
Yeah, it's been a
we
while.
I know the last time we saw each other was at the UTS event. That was
That's the first time we ever met in person, too.
No, I
And
UTS was that was sick. I think that was one of my favorite little events that I did this year.
what do you think of that compared to a pro tournament you've been to? Because I like what they were trying to do.
There's definitely legs there. Like I don't like obviously like I don't know if it was executed like to exactly like what they had envisioned,
Yeah.
but being like doing what we do, like that was the perfect environment for what we like to
Yeah.
do.
I
I
agree.
mean, dude, I got to hit balls with Gael Monfils for
Yeah.
I don't even know how long. I got to watch Nick Kyrgios hit with random fans. We got to have all this. We got we were 5 feet away. We're talking Rublev's. Who else was there? Casper.
Casper, Monfils, Andre,
I mean, this is a joke. All these top 10 players.
Alex, Bublik.
Yep.
Was Bublik there? No, Bublik wasn't there.
Bublik was not there yet. I'll have to look at my video.
Stefanos.
Tsitsipas was there. And just like the fact that we got to sit in those interview these guys at like a press conference. Then we got to do like we get one-on-one time with these athletes. We get to kind of be on the court with them, so it's like they're in their comfort setting. All that stuff. And like there was no red tape. You know, when I'm used to going to these events and just like there's so much red tape, it's like you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go there, you can only go here. And it's like there was just like no one told me one thing about where I couldn't go or
Yeah.
what I couldn't say or nothing. It was just like, and for that, it's like that's a winning environment for tennis to kind of breathe. And I think that was the coolest part, was like there was nobody like spying on me to like tell me like no, you can't. Yeah, so that was kind of a relief that we had somewhere in tennis that could let the creative energy kind of flow.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I like how they're getting or making it that entertainment value that we've been looking for. I think
Great.
definitely needed more.
It needed more structure,
Yes.
a little bit more. Yeah, it didn't have
Yes.
structure, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because it was year one.
At least
I
in New
think,
York, it's year one, and
yeah.
they run it so well. I mean, it looks like it's run really well everywhere else in Europe. When they have that indoor facility and it's like more closed in, I feel like a lot of people like that. There, it just has more energy to it.
I would, if I was them, I'd put a little more structure into it. I'd bring like some fan competition into it where the fans can like, you know, whether it's return a serve of the player or like play some like a 3-point tiebreaker against it, something where they get some
Like
type
a
of
half court
prize.
shot,
Yeah,
like.
exactly. Like they do in basketball. Like give me some type of competition where where average Joes, I think that they're like a 4-5 USTA player or 5-0 USTA player. And they're trying to return these dudes, like something along those lines. And that would have been even, you know, that could have been gold. I
Yeah.
thought it was, you know, pretty crazy for Gaio to fry my forehand for 10 minutes on an IG live. I thought that was a little bit uncalled for.
That was hysterical. That was probably one of my favorite moments.
The
That
dude
was
takes
probably
my
one.
phone and man, my dad, I remember my dad texted me. He's like, did Gaio just take your phone? And was he just, I'm like, yeah. He's like,
Yes,
that
he
was
did.
nuts. He's like, can
His
you save that?
racket was huge.
Oh, that thing was. I'm
That's
glad.
a
I'm glad that. Glad there's
that's
no footage that is circulated of my strokes with that heavy. That was a tree branch, dude.
that was a 2x4 trying to
It
hit the
was
ball.
massive four and five eighths grip too. I was like, I had no wrist on that ball.
And no one had anything on that ball. I think if I took
No.
that, I think my arm would have fallen off.
It was.
Shit.
Funny, some of like the content guys were like going all out on those drills, like trying to impress these pros. I'm like, dude, nothing you do is gonna impress one of these pros, dude. I'm like, I
It's
swear.
still, hey, you gotta take
I
advantage of the moment. You gotta take advantage of the moment. You're gonna be like, I will never have this opportunity again. If I can hit a tweener against Gaël Monfils, I am okay. And that's what they did.
I
So you have to give him some props.
do. I do. I give them credit, but it's like, dude, these guys see tweeters like, oh, it's funny. They're like, yeah, I forget the guy's name. He was a funny guy. The guy that had
Yeah.
the
Tipsy Tennis
but
Podcast.
yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Funny guy.
The last thing I wanted to talk to you about was you got to meet Roger Federer this year.
That's crazy.
What? You lucky man.
That's crazy.
What was that event like?
That was awesome. So I went to New York when I saw you the UTS event. I flew back, went on my family vacation for like 4 or 5 days, and then I flew right back to New York for that event. I was like, I got to go back for this thing. It was a Wilson event at their headquarters in Manhattan, and Fed walked in, and like I was like. First off, you can like feel Fed before you see Fed. Like there's an energy about like it's a weird thing. Like it's a real weird thing. And I'm sure that's not gonna play out right if it's taken out of context. But
Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
but dude, like
Why do you
I
think I'm
can't
laughing first?
I can't I can't explain it though. Like literally, he just has like this, like the kids say, like this his aura is
Yeah.
just it's an energy that like people are just attracted to it. And like you knew what room Federer was in because it was just everybody's just like all it was all eyes on Fed. But he walks in and his agent Tony Gottsick, who's followed the channel, just kind of because I've covered his son Nico
Nico.
and during juniors, and he was like, hey Roger, this is Nate, he does Not Your Country Club, blah blah blah. He's and just kind of stopped there. And Roger's like, "Oh, great to see you." And I was like, "Roger, you won't remember this, but I actually interviewed you. I gave you one question, your last ever press conference at Cincinnati Open 2019." And he's like, "Really? What'd you ask me?" And I told him, I was like, "I asked you if like what courts were faster, Wimbledon or Cincinnati Open's courts." And he was like, "No way." He's like, "I remember this question." He's like, "You got it." He's like, "That was you." I was like, "Yeah." He's like, and like he remembered his whole answer. He told me his whole answer. I'm like, "No way you remember this." This guy's been interviewed like thousands and thousands of times, and he remembered that answer. So then, after that, I got to sit down with him like for, I think it was 6 minutes and 28 seconds to be exact, because I remember the clip.
He
It was,
remembers exactly how long. Like
oh
that's
yeah.
how impressionable he is towards anyone. I feel like
Oh, for sure.
you don't forget something like that. You
No, never.
don't.
The fact that he gave me 6 minutes and like 28 seconds was nuts. And like, and he would have kept going longer, but like, it was more of like a time. I felt the pressure from the outside that Wilson was like, "All right, come on, man. You got your
Yeah.
four questions in." But he would have sat down and talked for, we could have talked tennis all day. His recall, his, I mean, for just to sit down with him and just to, he feels like he's your friend. Like immediately, like you feel like you've known this guy forever. And I think one day I'll be able to put out the whole interview. Cause I
Oh,
think
you're
that's super
still sitting
interesting.
on that.
Yeah. I think I released on the Tennis Point YouTube page. You can find like 2 minutes of it, but the whole 6 minutes where I asked him about his logo and what his logo kind of means to tennis. I asked him about his kids and their relationship with tennis, kind of compared to his relationship with tennis at a similar age, and just kind of, you know, different things about his career. And I thought he gave just very insightful and cool responses. And I'm like, one
When
day,
am
I
I
hopefully that'll.
seeing this? When are we seeing this? Because
You might see it
I
early
want
on.
to see this.
All right, I might send it to you. I don't know if it'll hold quality for a 6 minute plus video, but I'll definitely get to. I was just showing somebody yesterday, and they're like, "Dude, you got to post this." I'm like, "When the time comes, I will." But I actually gave him a Not Your Country Club hat too, and that was sick. He like, as soon as he gets it, he just starts creasing the shit out of this thing. He just starts moving. He's like, "This is a nice hat." He
He's
just starts
like, look
hammering.
what I can do with this.
Dude, he starts hammering the bill, and I'm like,
Please no, please for the love of God, that's not what this bill is for.
I'm not a fold my bill type of guy, but Raj is though. So no, the fact that he touched a green Not Your Country Club hat was pretty cool, man. I was like, that's the goat right there. Because I was growing up, I'm a Rafa guy. Like through and through, I was a Bollinger
Really?
team. Oh, for sure. That's why I'm like
Is that why
Babolat
your
racket.
forehand looks like the way it does? Because it's trying
That's
to
why,
mimic Rafa?
yeah. Somewhere it got lost in the Rafa Jack sock mix there. But
Oh, God.
no, I think so. I was a diehard Rafa guy. But then once I talked to like Roger for the like even watching him come in the Cincinnati press conference room in 2019 when I saw him for the first time,
Yeah.
like you had grown. Like I was like, I felt like a kid at the time, but you had like grown adults who'd been covering tennis for years and years. So I followed like since I was a kid, and they're looking at him the same way I was looking at him. Like they were like in awe of him every step of the way, like I was. And he just has the way he carries himself. I just don't know if there's another human that has ever like had that type of persona. And it's like it's not like a he's not putting on at all. It's just
Yeah.
like that's who he is. He's super candid and authentic and just like down to earth. And like when he left, he was like he said like he. Called me by my name and said, but I'm like, what? Like this guy, like he just met like 120 people in this room right here.
Yeah.
It was nuts. And he's special guy for our sport. I'm hoping, I can't wait to see what he does with our, like just with the promotion of our game going forward. But I know his agency with teammate, I'm sure they're gonna kind of continue to pick up young talents in this game and hopefully keep pushing our sport to the top.
It's incredible, and I envy you for remembering how long you got to talk to that man for.
Oh yeah, that was
Also,
no.
I
I will tell one story. I didn't. I forget. I wasn't gonna tell us. About 2 minutes before, he's sitting down with some. I forget who it was. And like they're like, "You're up next," and I got like the butterflies. I won't even call them butterflies. It was way worse than butterflies. I'm like, "I gotta go to the bathroom. Like I gotta go to the bathroom right now." And they're like, "You're up next." And my videographer's like, "We're about to go up," and I'm like, "Dude, gotta go. Like I gotta go to bed. Like I'm gonna lose it." And he's like, I'm like, "I gotta go. Like it's not gonna be good for Fed." I run to the restroom and I see like some of the guys that like the Wilson people like looking at me like what's where's he going? Like he's about to go up.
Yeah.
And it was the quickest bathroom break of my entire life. And I come out, and as soon as I come out, I'm like, I didn't like usually I'm the type of guy like I'm gonna look at my notes real quick before like one
Yeah.
last time, whatever. I just come out. And Roger stands up and they're like, "All right, you're up." And I'm like, it was just like, I came out just in time. Like, I almost had Federer waiting on me because I couldn't even, it was unbelievable. Dude, it was, and I can't make that up. It was nuts. But, you know,
Almost
my
make
day,
Federer wait for you? Are you nuts?
It was either going to be that or we're going to have a real situation on our hands. And
Jesus
I, you know,
Christ. My God.
that was, and I, you
That's
know, it was nuts.
insane.
I recovered though just in time. I can't, I was, you know, I gathered myself real quick. I'm sure I was like still, you know, palms were sweaty, but we
That's
got it
okay.
done.
As long
We
as you
got it
didn't make
done.
his palm sweaty after you shook his
Exactly.
hand, like that's just like
No.
he gives you a handshake. He's like, "What the hell is this?"
No, we'll put the full unfiltered interview up there sooner than later, I hope.
I can't wait. I can't wait. And Nate, I
Oh
can't
my
thank you
God.
again. Where can we expect you to be next? Are we done for the year, or we have one more to go?
I'll be doing I while I'm in Florida, I'll probably do a couple more little small things like hitting up some practices and whatnot, but that's it for me on the tournament side of things for the
Okay.
year. I finished off with the Sunshine Junior Circuit double. Next place you can find me is probably going to be Down Under.
Are you going?
I'm going to Down Under. We're going to Australia.
That's insane.
Yeah, we're going to be there for I think I'm going to extend my stay a little bit. Right now I'm booked for 10 days, but I think it's like if I'm going to fly for 20 hours or whatever it is, 24 hours, I got to stay 2 weeks. So I'll kind of figure out my what like the scope, whether it's more on the junior coverage or the pro coverage, but I'm sure it'll be a mix of both. And I think ASICS has some fun stuff in store too, so we'll see. It should be fun.
Are you doing just the Grand Slam, or are you doing the smaller tournaments too?
I get there on the 8th. So whatever happens on the 8th, I know we've got some like I've got to do some things with the ASICS team like
Okay.
for their stuff. So I haven't looked at the itinerary that closely yet just because I've
Okay.
been buried in the sand right now. But once I'm sure I'll get some time to do Australian Open. I think it ends like the 23rd, so it's only like 2 weeks. So I literally will get there for the very, very beginning. I got to extend my stay though. There's no, I'm gonna I got to stay 2 weeks. I got to figure that out.
Okay. I like it. I
First
like
time
it.
traveling outside the country for tennis though, so that'll be cool.
Really, you'll love it. It's a lot of
Yeah,
fun.
never. Have
It's
you been to any
definitely
slams outside the US?
I went as a fan to Roland Garros, and
Damn, that's sick.
that was fun. That was a good experience. It's a huge place. It's a huge you I think you would like some of these places.
I'm excited. I hope it's the first of many, and you know, hopefully tweener head and NYCC will be on the road 2025 somewhere.
Hopefully we'll get to collab a little bit more in person next time. For sure. Nate, I can't thank you again for joining us today. Good luck. And if
Appreciate
you
that.
guys don't know who NYCC is, please just follow them. Some of the best content out there right now. Nate, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Means a lot, man. Appreciate it a lot. Thanks for the time and thanks for having me on, bro. Always
No
good to catch
worries.
up and best of luck. Hopefully it's 2024 is a good one and 2025 is our year, bro.
I hope so too, man. Thanks, man.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
You too.